Sarvete Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
This morning we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 5, Text 24. Sava esha tada drashta. Na pasya drishyame kara. Mene santam ivatmanam. Shakti asupta drik. Sava. Word for word. Sa. The personality of Godhead. Va. Either. Esha. All these. Tada. At that time. Drashta. The seer. Na. Did not. Apasyat. See. Drishyam. The cosmic creation. Ekarat.
Undisputed proprietor.
Mene. Thought like this.
Asantam.
Non-existent.
Eva.
Like that.
Atmanam.
Plenary manifestations.
Supta.
Unmanifested.
Shakti.
Material energy.
Asupta.
Manifested.
Drik.
Internal potency. Translation. The Lord, the undisputed proprietor of everything, was the only seer. The cosmic manifestation was not present at that time, and thus he felt imperfect without his plenary and separated parts and parcels. Material energy was dormant, whereas the internal potency was manifested. Translation, please repeat. The Lord.
The
undisputed proprietor of everything.
Was the only seer.
The cosmic manifestation was not present at that time. And thus he felt imperfect without his plenary and separated parts and parcels. The material energy was dormant. Whereas the internal potency was manifested. Purport. The Lord is the supreme seer, because only by his glance did the material energy become active for cosmic manifestation. At that time, the seer was there, but the external energy over which the glance of the Lord is cast was not present. He felt somewhat insufficient, like a husband feeling lonely in the absence of his wife. This is a poetic simile. The Lord wanted to create the cosmic manifestation to give another chance to the conditioned souls who were dormant in forgetfulness. The cosmic manifestation gives the conditioned souls a chance to go back home, back to Godhead, and that is the main purpose. The Lord is so kind that in the absence of such a manifestation, he feels something wanting, and thus the creation takes place. Although the creation of the internal potency was manifested, the other potency appeared to be sleeping, and the Lord wanted to awaken her to activity just as a husband wants to awaken his wife from the sleeping state for enjoyment. It is the compassion of the Lord for the sleeping energy that he wants to see her awaken for enjoyment like the other wives who are awake. The whole process is to enliven the sleeping conditioned souls to the real life of spiritual consciousness so that they may be thus become as perfect as the ever-liberated souls in the Vaikuntha Lokas. Since the Lord is Satchidananda Vigraha, he likes every part and parcel of his different potencies take part in the blissful rasa, because participation with the Lord in his eternal rasa lila is the highest living condition, perfect in spiritual bliss and eternal knowledge. The Lord, the undisputed proprietor of everything, was the only seer. The cosmic manifestation was not present at that time. And thus he felt imperfect without his plenary and separated parts and parcels. The material energy was dormant, whereas the internal potency was manifest. So Vidura's talks with Maitreya. And it is explained earlier in this chapter that Krishna had wound up his lila and had left this world, but he wanted Vidura to be instructed nicely, extra, because Vidura was already instructed, but he wanted some extra instructions to be imparted to Vidura, and he left that knowledge with Maitreya Muni. And so when Vidura came there, he felt very fortunate to be in the presence of Maitreya Muni. And Maitreya Muni similarly was very feeling very happy to see Vidura. We've just been reading in another temple about Lord Shiva's presence in the front of the Prachetas, the 10 sons of King Prachinibahi, who were very exalted boys and were very serious about spiritual life and wanted to do some tapasya and meditation to further enhance their realization of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Already they were devotees, bhaktas. So they decided to go to one lake and by their mystic potency, by their power, their goal was to go into the lake and under the water of the lake and sit on the bottom. Very unusual, but a little inconceivable to us. Of course, there's many instances in history with great yogis, and they can go under the water and stay under the water to separate themselves from any disturbance. They just sit at the bottom. So this was the position of the Prachetas. I often remember when we were young boys, we used to play and go out under the water and sit and look at the other, see who was holding the breath the longest, who could stay, who was going first there in the top. So you can sit, and when you sit, it's very quiet under the water, isn't it? So the yogis like to... to do the yoga, you have to go to the Himalaya or in the jungle, in the forest or something like that. You have to go away from the society. You've got too many distractions. So, of course, we can go under the water only for 1 minute, we can stay there. But these yogis, they can stay because they have got control of the pranayama and they suspend their breathing. They're not inhaling, exhaling, they're suspended by the yoga. They're just sitting, and they go into the different process, and they go into the samadhi. They sit in the trance, and they're meditating. And the Prachetas were meditating, of course, God within. They didn't want any external disturbance. So they were going there, and they... But Lord Shiva, he knows the minds and hearts of everyone, and he went there and was coming out of the lake himself and surrounded by many others, the Gandharvas, who were praising him, and he began to give nice transcendental instruction to the boys. So they were feeling very fortunate to get the darshan of Lord Shiva, and Lord Shiva was very happy to see them. And Prabhupada explains it's very important that one gets instructions from the guru, especially the guru, they are present to give the guidance, even Vidura was already exalted soul. Still, Krishna had the idea that he should hear from Maitreya. Maybe there were some aspects that Krishna wanted further explained. Perhaps Krishna thought that this is also a good example. Krishna himself and Balaram, when they went to the ashram of Sandipani Muni, they put them subordinated themselves under the guru. So it's very important. All the acharyas explain like that. We have to learn these intricate subject matters. That's like here we're learning about Maitreya. Of course, Vidura asks some questions to Maitreya, and Maitreya is answering some technical things about the creation. And so, to understand these things is not so easy from our position. And even we can have many books, anything like that, still you need to hear from someone who's the expert in this area. And that's true in anything in life, isn't it? I mean, just say you want to go to the university, you go in the first year, and you go, and then I just give you the books. All right, here are the books, go study, come back at the end of the year, do the exam. Do you feel very confident? Maybe someone will pass. But no, so just the books alone, is it? You can get the books. Sometimes we get the books, we don't understand the books. Isn't it? So we need the help. Just like we buy something. We buy the new computer, it doesn't work. Something wrong. We look in the... Look, try, still doesn't work. What's the... They ring the expert. And immediately, within 1 minute, he say, you didn't do this, you do this, do this. Then it works. So the expert can tell you within a moment because he is trained, he is experienced, he has learnt from also his teacher. So in spiritual life also, we have to learn from the expert. Books are good, the knowledge is good, the books are good. We have to approach someone who is the expert, who is the master. And of course, we have to be a good student. You can have a good master, and you can have good books, you can have good subject matter, but you're not a good student, you'll fail also. So all the ingredients have to be together, isn't it? All the ingredients. Good book, good subject, good institution, isn't it? And you have to be the good student. And then if all the ingredients are there, then one will make progress. One will go through very nicely if they apply themselves. So Vidura subordinated himself. Now this should be the mentality of a disciple. The student can't be puffed up. He goes to the lecture. Oh, I am already knowing these things. What are you doing here? Go away. You already knowing. If you already know, you'll never learn anything. Those who are actually in knowledge never say, I am knowing everything. Because they understand there are so many more things to be known. The truly knowledgeable ones, they are actually humble. But the ignorant ones, they are the ones that are puffed up. They think they know so many things. So unless one is actually humble and respectful, the process of getting the knowledge and implementing that knowledge will be hampered. Of course, one can't follow blindly. That is not recommended. One has to ask questions. But one has to ask pertinent questions and in a respectful way, ignorant, silly questions. I know Prabhupada wasn't. He didn't like silly questions. I was with him a few times when he. I remember in our temple in Juhu Beach in Bombay. One Western man came all of a sudden. Prabhupada every afternoon would have open darshan, and we disciples, anyone who was there came. And one Western man. I don't know where he came from, but anyway, he came, and then he started to. So Prabhupada greeted him, and so he asked him, what do you have any questions? Well, I was reading some books, and I think about how the civilization came, and then the pyramids in Egypt, and I think they came from the aliens that came and landed, and they were the ones that built the pyramids. And he started going on and on like this, and Prabhupada listened for it. He said, "This is all nonsense things." He said, "You have to learn from the authority." Not maybe this, maybe that, maybe the other thing. Maybe not. So Maybe there's a, which book? Where did you learn? I read in a book. I heard from a friend. I was thinking. So this type of understanding things is very is imperfect, and you know, and just like if you want to be the surgeon, you think that just by you know maybe it might be like this. Let's try a little bit to the left. You think they can experiment like that? I'm going to do the operation. I see he's got some critical. Let's try a little bit one over this side. Let's cut here. You could kill him. So the surgeon, who is very trained, he doesn't have any much leeway for experimentation. He has to know exactly what he's doing before he starts, isn't it? Are you going to try? You're going to go? I've got some surgery, and you're going to go to the carpenter or something like that? You're going to go to the trained surgeon. So similarly, in spiritual life is very crucial. We don't get much opportunity, especially in the Kali Yuga. You see the world. You know, most of you are working outside. Who is thinking about the spiritual life? So when we get the opportunity, it is a very crucial and very fortunate position. And one who has actually got some education as far as this is concerned feels very blessed that this opportunity has come. And let me take it, and let me try to understand these things, advance on this path. I have to go very, very carefully in the right way. In the right way. It's very improper to always emphasize this point. How to ask the questions. I always remember one time in Perth when Prabhupada came to Perth, one of the God brothers of mine. Prabhupada was walking, and the God brother said, Prabhupada, you know, in Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita 5,000 years ago, and then he was about to ask his question, and Prabhupada stopped him. He said, "You're a student of the Bhagavad Gita?" He said, "Prabhupada, I'm studying the Bhagavad Gita." He said, "How you can say Krishna spoke just 5,000? You didn't read Imam Vivashvate Yoga, Vivashva? He spoke millions of years before to the sun god. Why only 5,000 years, you're saying?" He said, "You studying the Bhagavad Gita?" So one has to be very careful. After that, we're all very careful how we ask the questions to Prabhupada. Because he's training us. He's training. It's not that he's just trying to be mean. Sometimes the students think the teachers are just mean. They're trying to be mean. They're trying to push them down. They want them to fail. But if the students are failing, then the teacher will not last in the position very long, isn't it? If someone's a lecturer or teacher and all the students are failing, that's not him. he'll be gone from that. So the teachers actually want the students to pass. So sometimes the gurus will test. Sometimes Krishna tests. Krishna tests sometimes directly or through his representative, through the prakriti, through the material energy. He tests us. He wants us to pass the tests. So this is very, very important. So Maitreya, he's very happy. So the Lord Shiva, just like I was telling the story of Lord Shiva, he's very happy to see the boys because they are dedicated their lives to the spiritual advancement. And of course, Maitreya is very happy to see Vidura. He's already a great devotee. And now he's got the opportunity, by Krishna's mercy, to speak something more. Krishna wanted him to speak something more. So here, he's just talking about the position. And Vidura asked these questions first. Vidura already very elevated, very educated. And he knows Krishna very intimately. He didn't immediately ask about what is the Rasa Leela. What is the pastime of the Krishna and the Gopi and Radha? First he asked, what is Krishna's position? How is he the supreme? These are the questions he asked. Because although he himself was very intimately connected and he understood, he relished these pastimes very nicely of Krishna and his associates and Krishna and his different pastimes, still he knew the position of ordinary living entities. Unless they understood the greatness of God, they will misunderstand the intimate pastimes of God. They'll misunderstand. So ordinary, you know, actually I was just reading work of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, where he said there's four categories of jivas in the world. He said there is ordinary jivas, conditioned souls. You know, and then there's called the religious jivas. They are the jivas who engage in some religious activities. And then he says there, he calls them the Vaishnavatara. Then there are some jivas who take up the path of the devotional service. Others are doing the ritualistic religious. Then there are others who actually come to the path of the bhakti. But they are just on a beginning on the path. Beginning on the path, and they are not, they resemble the Vaishnavas. They're not truly the Vaishnavas. Not yet. Not yet. And then there's what he calls the Vaishnavatama, the actually truly situated Vaishnavas. They're not thinking other things, they're just thinking Krishna. This is a very high devotee. So very high devotee is very rare. And of course, Krishna wants everyone to come up. So, and Prabhupada points this out, that this whole material manifestation, here, prakritim svam avastabhya visrijam puna puna bhuta gramam imam kritsnam avasham prakrite vasat. This whole cosmic order, Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, is under me. And by my will, it is automatically coming, again and again. And under my will, it will be annihilated. Here Prabhupada explains that the material energy is, Krishna is supreme. He is the controller. He knows every minute thing of this world. But before this world, only he was there. These basic things we need to understand. What is Krishna's position? And again it comes. And very nicely explained in Bhagavad Gita. Also very nicely explained here by Maitreya. And of course the gurus will repeat the same things. At the end of the millennium, material manifestations enter me, Krishna says, and the beginning of another millennium, by my potency, I create again. Sometimes the example is given of the spider, just like the spider, from him comes the web, and it can be a very big web, and he can make it, and then he can wind it up also, and then when he makes the web, so many are caught in that web. That's how he eats, by catching. So Krishna makes the web of the material energy. But why? Because Prabhupada explains, the living entity has the inclination to enjoy separately from him. So Krishna gives the facility. This is the reason. The reason. But Krishna makes it that it goes in the cycles, manifest, going for some time, then unmanifest, goes through different ages, Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwapara Yuga, Kali Yuga. And in each age there are certain things going on to facilitate what our desires are. And if the desires of some living entities don't fit in one age, they all come in the other age. So then the Kali Yuga comes, the last of the ages. There's so many descriptions, everything will be smaller and everything will be shorter lived and so many things like that. So then Krishna has to wind it up and then create again, start another cycle on the Satya Yuga, longer lives, more qualified beings. He has to do this because there are different living entities, have different desires, so they have to go in the different situations. So this is basically the situation. Before there is the Vaikuntha world, that is beyond this world. That is beyond this prakriti. One time in Auckland, Prabhupada was giving a lecture in the Gandhi Hall. And at the end of the lecture, one man asked, We are from the Hindu religion and we have many gods. So what do you have to say about that? And Prabhupada said, well, they are of this world. He said, I am talking about something beyond this world. Gods, there are many gods, or what do we call demigods, very powerful. They are representing Krishna in the different aspects of the world. But beyond this world, there is the spiritual. That is always existing. These are the basic things. Of course, the people, especially in Kali Yuga, they don't understand these things. And Prabhupada actually says, to understand even the basic things, we need a lot of knowledge from books like Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. And we need to hear these things under the guidance of the guru. Someone who's learned from his guru, and so on. So these things have to be understood nicely. Generally, people are just interested in material things. Those may be a bit more pious. They worship the demigods, but they want some material. Just like there's one story of one elderly Brahmana who lived in the Srirangam area. And this is a long time ago. He became detached. He was practicing tyaga, renunciation. And he was practicing the poverty. He was a great devotee. He would just live just anywhere, near the Rangam temple, just under the tree, or just anywhere. And even he didn't care for his clothing. If some cloth was thrown, he'd just get it and wear it. Sometimes it would be torn, he would just sew it. He was very detached from any of the material things. And he was living like that. Even if the sun was coming, he would just sit. He would be chanting. So one story was that Lord Shiva and Parvati were flying in their Vimana overhead. And their shadow went on that Brahman. Now it is said that if one gets the shadow of Lord Shiva or Parvati or something like that, that is very auspicious. One gets so much blessing like that. So everyone is eager for even to get the shadow. So the shadow went on the Brahmana, and when the shadow came, he looked and he moved out. So Parvati was looking at that, and she looked at Lord Shiva. This is a very strange fellow. Normally, the people are running to get the blessings and benediction from us, even our shadow. This fellow's moving out. Let's go down there, she said. Let's go down. So they came, and then she said to Lord Shiva, go offer him. Go offer him, you know, whatever he wants. He'll be very glad to see you. Everyone knows you can give anything. You go there, offer him anything. And Lord Shiva said, he is a bhakta. He won't want any of these things. He said, no, go. She wanted to test him, actually. So you go. So Lord Shiva went, and then he made the offering. I'm very happy with you. Whatever you want, just ask, I will give you. The Brahmin, he didn't even look. Didn't even answer. So Lord Shiva was looking back like this. She said, offer him all wealth, offer him palace, offer him everything. All right. So he made the offering. Still, the Brahmin didn't even look, didn't even answer. She said, offer him svarga, offer him to go to the heaven. Get all the opulences and all the riches of the heaven. So long life, so much beauty, everything will be there. You offer him. Brahmana said, this time he talked, he said, I don't want these things, but can you answer me one thing? Can you give me the mukti? So Lord Shiva said, well, mukti. Then he made one very famous statement of Lord Shiva. He said, Vishnu, mukti patara savasham, Vishnu evana shamsha. He said like that. He said that, mukti, that you have to go, Vishnu. I can give you anything in this world. But you want the mukti, liberation, you have to go Vishnu for that. So then the Brahmin said, then I'm not interested. So Lord Lord Shiva was very happy with him. And Parvati was very happy. And they both, she came also. And, they, and Lord Shiva said, oh, you are a very great devotee. We actually wanted to test you. May you make further advancement on the path of devotional service. And maybe become very dear to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then the Brahmana was very happy. Oh, thank you. So we see, but most people want like that, whether they're just trying to enjoy through, you know, sense gratification. Some are worshipping the devas. Mainly they want the sense gratification, the material enjoyment. But someone who wants a spiritual advancement, that is a very rare thing. And someone may be on the path, someone's going along. Firstly, they have to understand these things. So here it is mentioned that just by glancing, now it's nicely explained here how before anything there was just the Supreme Personality, and then from him the internal energy came. You can read this description in Brahma Samhita very nicely, and also here in the Srimad Bhagavatam. The spiritual realm is eternally existing with so many Vaikuntha lokas, shining effulgent. There's no need of sun or moon or any of these things. Everything is effulgent in the spiritual realm. But some living entities have a desire. Maybe we want to just enjoy separately from Krishna. And so when they have desire like that, he makes situation just in one corner. The internal energy expands. The whole Mahatattva is there. He enters into. This is the first Karanadakshaya Vishnu. And from him, the great Garbhadha, the Karanajal ocean. So many universes are coming. They're like floating, like foam on the ocean. And then he impregnates, just by glancing, all the living entities. So many are dormant within him. He's keeping within him. And then he impregnates into this material world. And then they go into their situations from before. Now, this is explaining how after every creation, there's a duration, and then there's annihilation. And the living entities at the end of the life of Brahma, everything is wound up, comes back into the body of the Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. Again, they come out. So when they come out, they take up, their karma has to keep going. So they put into the different species of life. Prabhupada explains very nicely in his purport in Bhagavad Gita that all these things are created simultaneously. It's not that the living entity, is, you know, the species of life have evolved. You know, this is a common understanding. They've evolved from the lower species, have evolved to the high. Actually, Prabhupada explains, actually the living entity has nothing to do with it. Only his desires. The only thing he has to do with that, he's got some desires. But the whole arrangement is made by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is not that we as individuals, because we needed to do something, we willed our bodies to evolve in a certain way. Because we couldn't reach that thing over there to eat it, then we got the longer tongue, and when we evolved into another species. And when we wanted to get our nose into a big hole, but our nose was too short, and then we evolved into another species with a long nose. Or we were in the water, and then we were looking, we saw on the land there was food, and then we came out, but we had the fins and everything, so then we desired to go, then we evolved, and we grew the legs. Not like that. But of course, you know, there's so much explanation like that. But we don't accept that. There's a type of evolution of the living entity going from one species to another, an evolution of consciousness. It's an evolution of consciousness. This very much is explained by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, one of his works. There, if you talk about evolution, there's an evolution of consciousness, and due to that, the living entities are going from one life form to another life form. But these life forms are an arrangement of the Supreme Personality of God. And as I said, Prabhupada points out, actually they've got nothing to do with us. Not but by our will in one sense, they're by our consciousness. The arrangements are made. But it's not that we are making these things happen, and then our bodies are evolving to other forms, and then to other forms, and then to other forms, and to other forms like that. But this is a mistaken idea and a mistaken philosophy and a mistaken conclusion, which is unfortunately very much accepted and explained in all sorts of ways and taught, and the whole world more or less accepts this evolution theory as presented originally by Darwin. But we are not followers of that. We are followers of the Vedic presentation, especially the presentation given in Bhagavad Gita and in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So how the whole universe came about, they have their modern day idea and theories and so on and so forth, which, you know, changing over time also. But maybe they've got some idea, some things are close, some things maybe not so close. Again, maybe perhaps. Prabhupada used to call this type of thing maybe perhaps philosophy. Maybe perhaps. Maybe perhaps, but maybe not. So if you want to fully stand behind this type of idea of theory and rationale, and then Prabhupada used to say, you're on the shaky ground. You're on the shaky ground. I remember one time up in his room there, someone was presenting something, I can't remember who it was, but about some Christian idea from some very unknown gospel or something like that. He said, and he presented some idea. He was trying to show Prabhupada, about reincarnation is mentioned. He said, yeah, maybe, but he said that these things are a little bit shaky ground. We present from Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, these things, from the Vedic. Then we're on the solid ground, because these things are absolute. So when we have to learn these things ourselves very nicely. We have to study these things. We have to be able to present these things. Whether someone accepts or not is not, that's up to them. But at least we have to know. Because when we're beginners, we may not know so much. It's our duty to learn more and more. I remember one time when I was a new devotee, I was selling the Bhagavad Gita's, and one Christian man came and he asked me, in your book, where does it say that your God is the supreme? And because I always knew, I couldn't find it. I thought, oh yeah, it says here somewhere. And then after a couple of minutes, I couldn't find it. He said, just say you don't even know your own book. So after that, I started carefully studying Bhagavad Gita. Started learning one shloka after the other. So we ourselves have to study these books. I remember one time also when we went into the Prabhupada's room, we were all book distributors. So the book distributors were brought in. Prabhupada did it. I think it was Madhavis brought us all in, and then Prabhupada, these are the book distributors. Ah, very nice, you are so wonderful distributing the books. Here, take some gulabs, take some rasgulla. Prabhupada was distributing. Oh, thank you, Prabhupada, like that. And then he said, but one thing, are you reading my books? He said, one thing, you are so nice, you are distributing. One thing, are you reading them? You have to read them. I often ask this question because, we of course were brahmacharis and brahmacharinis living in the temple. We had good opportunity to read. But grihasthas is a little bit more difficult. You're working and sometimes long hours and to read Prabhupada's books. You can, Prabhupada said, but still grihasthas should, even though they have their obligations and they have their work, still they should take the time. And like Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, his grihastha disciples, he was very strict with. He would require them to come to the temple every night after work. And once they came, they have to come to the aarti and the class. And they couldn't leave. I read one story like that in the Calcutta temple. They come to the aarti, someone was in the class, someone got up to go. He said, where you go? You have to come back. Sit down and you have to hear the class. So they have to pay attention. These days, pay attention. Oh, Hare Krishna. When I give the public lectures, Everyone's looking in the phone. They call them the phone addicts. Any screen, they've got to look at it. Sometimes even the phone is there, and I'm giving the lecture, the phone's ringing, they can't find it. And then they just talk as they have the conversation in the middle of the temple room. People are becoming so addicted to these things, they can't concentrate, they can't give attention. You have to give attention if you want to learn anything, isn't it? Just like in the school. I always remember when I was, of course these days they're not allowed to do these things, but when I was a boy high school, we were talking, and the teacher was, and then all of a sudden I got the duster in the head. And in the Western now you can't do that, though. The teachers can't do that. In those days, you know, the duster came, boom, pay attention, stop talking. So we have to pay attention. And actually, in the end of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna asked Arjuna, I've discussed so many subject matters, have you heard these things with attention? Have you heard these things with attention? Because you need to pay attention, you know, in anything, if you want to learn anything, and especially in spiritual life. You have to listen, you have to study, you have to understand these basic things, how the creation comes about. What is God's position? Now, Prabhupada, in presenting Krishna consciousness, and all the acharyas, they wouldn't go in and just talk about the intimate pastimes with someone. And Prabhupada actually told us here, he said, mainly for the masses, he said the main program is kirtan and prasadam. Kirtan and prasadam is the main program. And then if someone is interested, more serious, then we can give. Of course, you know, he also encouraged book distribution. But as far as speaking, he said, when they become more serious, then you can present. And then when you present, you have to present these basic things. What is Krishna's position? It's like Bhagavad Gita's basic thing. What is Ishwara? Who is the supreme controller? The five basic subject matters of Bhagavad Gita. Ishwara, who is the supreme controller? Isn't it? Ishwara. Who is the jiva? What is it? Just like in a... Someone wants to get initiated, they have to do the test. So these things will be asked. Who is Ishwara? What is the jiva? What is the answer? What is the prakriti? What is the kala? What is the karma? These are the, Prabhupada says, these are the basic subject matters of Bhagavad Gita. So these things we talk. Who is Ishwara? Who is the supreme controller? What is our position, Jiva? What is the prakriti? So this is talking prakriti here. Prakriti. How the prakriti comes. How is manifested. We have to understand, prakriti is not manifesting itself. It is coming from the supreme personality of Godhead. He is the supreme seer. He is the supreme knower. From him. Before prakriti, there was him only. Then prakriti came. Some are presenting that prakriti is supreme. The energy is supreme. The material nature is supreme. It is the cause of everything. It is creating so many things. The prakriti. No, it's prakriti. But where is the prakriti coming? The nature. And Prabhupada would say like this. Then, yes, nature. But whose nature? He talked like that one time. Is that someone asked? Yes, nature. Nature. I'm nature. I like to study nature. All these things. Yes, but just like you have a nature, it is your nature. So this nature, whose nature is it? It is Krishna's nature. It's Krishna's nature. So we have to see everything in that way. Everything connected to Krishna. And as one advances more and more, then they will see like that. It's like Prabhupada one time was walking on the beach and one disciple came, Prabhupada, when I'm walking on the beach, I find it hard to think of Krishna. I'm seeing this, I'm seeing the other thing, people all there. Hard to think of Krishna. And Prabhupada answered it in another way. He said, oh, for me, I only see Krishna. I only see Krishna. I see ocean, I think Krishna. I see sand, I think Krishna. I see sky, it's Krishna. I see sun, I think Krishna. I see people, Krishna. You see the difference? Prabhupada one time explained, there's a difference between ordinary devotee and great devotees. So great devotees, few words, minimum words, maximum effect. New devotee, many words, maybe a little effect. But so powerful devotees is another thing. And their vision, their consciousness is another thing. So these types of personalities we should seek out. We should seek their association. We should inquire from them, serve them. Then we'll make nice advances. Then we can ask the question about the prakriti, about the manifestation, how it's coming, how it evolves, and how it is again annihilated, and then again it comes again, how Krishna is going inside. He knows everything, what's going on everywhere. There's nothing that goes on that he doesn't know. It is not just automatic thing. Just like instinct, just like sometimes they explain the instinct, just like the deer is born and the baby deer by instinct knows to go to the mother and go to the nipple and get the milk. By instinct, they say. The Prabhupada says, no, not instinct. It is Krishna within. Now you were born as a baby, you have to go over here to the nipple of the mother. How they know? By instinct. This is not instinct. It's God. Is instruct from you, God, you do like this. You have to do like that now. You have to go to the mother and you have to do this. It's not just automatic thing. Krishna's in everywhere. So he knows everything. So this type of understanding all of us need to have. And here, the different potencies are acting. Ultimately, Krishna is Satchidananda Vigraha. He likes every part and part. He likes everyone. He wants that everyone come back to their original position to take part in the blissful rasa because participation with the Lord in his eternal rasa is the highest living condition. So there's an opportunity in the material world to advance. Krishna creates everything and then he sends his representatives, he comes himself to give the instruction and then we can come out of the whole thing. We are independent. Krishna gives us that independence, so we have our desires, so he arranges, but actually he wants us to come out of it, come to the natural, original position of blissful position. He is blissful, his nature is like that, he is knowing, and we are also like that. But we are not supreme, we are not supreme knowing, but we are knowing, we are his parts and parcel. Don't make the mistake of I am the supreme knowing. You're not the supreme knowing. Even if I said, how many hairs on your head? You couldn't answer. You're not supreme knowing. Krishna. So we have to have this clear understanding. Clear understanding. And that comes from reading the books like the Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, under the guidance of the spiritual master. Jaya Srila Prabhupada ki jaya. Read this verse again. Sava esha tadadrashta napascha drishamekarat. The Lord, the undisputed proprietor of everything, was the only seer. The cosmic manifestation was not present at that time. Thus he felt imperfect without his plenary and separated parts and parcels. Until energy was dormant, whereas the internal potency was manifested. Any questions? Yes, Prabhu. Yes, well, you have to follow the direction of the guru. The guru, his duty is to help the disciple overcome the difficulty. You see, that this is just like I said, that when you go to the university or something, you have so many texts, you have to study that thing. So the lecturers are there to teach you these things and to answer any difficulties you have. That's their service. That's their job, isn't it? So similarly, the guru is like that. So there'll be, you know, we're beginning devotees. We have a desire, but because of our conditioning and because of our attachment and all these things, there'll be some difficulties to overcome. So therefore, the guru, the sadhus, all there to, and this is Krishna's desire that he sends the representatives and the guru and the sadhus and the shastras, all there to help you overcome the difficulty. So our position should be that we want to take the association, we want to take the instruction. When I'm feeling bewildered, when I'm feeling in difficulty, let me just seek out this association. Ask how I can overcome this difficulty, because each one will have some difficulty in one area, other difficulty, other area, and we have to deal with each situation specifically. Just like, you know, everyone can, someone is sick, someone is sick in another way, they go to the doctor. Doctor just doesn't give in general, he has to see what is your sickness, what are the symptoms, and he'll give the specific thing. So the gurus and the sadhus, the advanced devotees, all there, by the mercy of Krishna, they will help us overcome the difficulty. So that is the main thing. And of course, this Krishna is there. He will help you. You have to pray to Krishna. Pray to Krishna, please help me overcome all these difficulties. And if we're very advanced devotees, just like Draupadi, whenever, you know, in the assembly, she was, Dushashan came and was taking the sari, strip her naked, like, isn't it? She just surrendered to Krishna. Krishna, it's like one, just I was in Perth and one lady was, she had the cancer, and she's saying that, I said, you have to be like the Draupadi, Krishna, surrender. Any other questions? Well, you have to understand properly what is the Rasleela and what is the intimate pastimes and what is therefore, as I said in the beginning, the position of Krishna is first of all explained. You have to understand what is the power of God and what is his transcendental position, and then you can understand more the intimate pastimes. So someone who is not on that platform, and even if someone is on a very high platform, they don't publicly engage in these activities. These are all the statements of the Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very exemplary. He is Radha Krishna combined. But publicly he never spoke these things. Just he spoke with some very intimate, Ramananda Roy and some others, and Sarup Damodar, some other very intimate advanced devotee. He spoke. He liked to hear with like nectar in his ear to hear of Radha and Krishna and their Leela. That was his nectar. But publicly he knew, because he knew the common person would misunderstand, take cheaply, try to imitate. Just like Krishna had so many gopis he was dancing, but then someone will imitate, they will want to keep. But in the material world, that is a perverted thing. It is not a pure thing. It is not the pure love. It is selfish. So the pure love exists in the spiritual world. So therefore, we can understand that someone who's, even the great exalted devotees are not publicly displaying these things. So anyone publicly displaying them is not. Just generally, we can understand like that. We understand Lord Chaitanya's mood. We are followers of Lord Chaitanya. Publicly, he never even spoke. So therefore, publicly, anyone who's doing it. So, I mean, you know, we don't want to offend anyone, but we are not intimately associating.
Turn it into a yes.
turn them into a saying yes? How do you turn them into saying yes? That takes a lot of expertise. But one thing, though, that you know, kamandi vadikaraste, you know, Krishna explained, don't be attached to the results. There's a difference. Now, this has to be understood very carefully also. It's not that devotees don't like to see results. It's like Prabhupada, he wanted to see results. He wanted to see so many temples, he wanted to see so many books distributed, prasadam, harinam, so many things he wanted to see. So we like to see results. When we go for book distribution, we want to distribute so many books, but don't be attached to the outcome of that. You understand? So we want to see results. We try our best. That is our duty. We try our best to get so many results as envisioned by Prabhupada, by all the acharyas, by Lord Chaitanya himself, by Krishna. Krishna wants to see so many things. So devotees like to see. So we like to see results in a certain way. But don't be leave the result to Krishna. You try your best, and it's up to the individual whether they take that thing or not take that thing, and leave it between Krishna and that living entity. So how to persuade them? You just do your best. You can learn from other devotees how they are doing it. Krishna will give you inspiration from within. But it's always, you know, always remember, don't be attached. Because it's then that will actually hamper your distilling the books. Because I always found also when I was a young brahmachari selling the book that when they saw that you were very attached, that actually was not so good for selling the book. But when you're detached, you get more result actually. So you learn from the others. But then you won't feel too disappointed if you're unattached. You just go like that. But it's not only the book, but in anything we do. Anything we do. Try your best. We like to see certain results. But ultimately, it's in the hands of God. Yes, Bill.
So,
that wasn't me, was it? I sold you a book. So what happened? Where was this?
Sydney.
Oh, it's Sydney. Oh. He's a real character, this guy, isn't
he? You got it, and I got another back to profit.
Yes, well, we had to cover the printing costs of our books. That's all I can say to that. I think on that note we'll end this. Sila Prabhupada ki jai. Shri Radha Balabha Bhagwan ki jai. Go Pemanandi.